Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's the steering committee. Ryan and Doug are your hosts. And I believe that steering committee member Ryan Barkey would like to bring some grievances to the, the floor.
It's that time of the year, Doug. And very handsome looking tonight. We're on Zoom. No, this isn't Zoom. It's something like Zoom.
It's Microsoft Teams.
Yeah. So we're going to call it Zoom. Keep things simple, but
it's just going to become, become a verb. Did you get a haircut as well?
No. Maybe a week ago. But Doug, before we started recording here, I made the comment that so Doug has this very it's very short on the sides, and I grew up watching Cops, and I saw a Massachusetts state trooper or two leaning through car windows. Yeah. That
it
looked very authoritative here.
This is relevant to our pre-recorded conversation here when we were talking about World War II history. Did you know that the Massachusetts state trooper uniforms were actually modeled after the German army's uniforms, the dress uniforms? If you go and look at them, look them up. It may have been the other way around. Maybe they modeled it after the Mass State Troopers, but one way or the other, they're related to each other. They're designed.
Yeah, that's
to
not
be,
a connection.
Well, it's almost, well, I don't know. It's if it was the Wehrmacht that was modeling it after Mass State Troopers, it's almost like it's almost a compliment, I guess. It's authoritative and intimidating. So
yeah, that's full asshole look. Yeah. There. Yeah.
Masshole, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah, that exactly. Yeah. So we're all over the board tonight, but we're obviously on Zoom because we're still dealing with this COVID. I know the vaccines are in the trucks, but
We're gonna have 100,000 vaccinations here.
Wait,
in
why
Colorado
didn't you
tomorrow.
Send them out with Amazon? Then we would have had them by now.
I know. Well, yeah.
It's, only if you've got Prime, Doug.
Only if you got Prime. Well, there are on average 17 different Amazon Prime trucks on our street every day. So
yeah,
I think everybody has Prime.
The ones that go through our neighborhood all seem to have these thumping stereo systems too, which is, I've never experienced that with the UPS guys. So maybe Amazon.
No, that doesn't fly at UPS. What can Brown do for you? It's not blare music through your neighborhood.
Right. No, I think I just lost you there for a second. Again, I can't wait for these Zoom calls to be done and we can sit together and really shoot the shit. It's not quite the same like this. No. But you did mention the airing of the grievances. It is that time of the year. I'm not a full-fledged member of the Church of Festivus, but I do subscribe.
But
you
adhere to this one particular tradition.
So I'm going to start with one that actually relates to both of the things, not only your haircut, but my grievance of the week. Wouldn't you know it? I took GT4 out for a good 20 minutes on Sunday morning. I went as far as Golden, got to the Golden Gate Canyon. It was pretty sloppy, so I turned right around, and I think I lost you.
I
must see you. I must see you here, Doug.
I can hear you, and
okay,
still
I can hear you too, but
lost,
all right, okay.
I lost picture there for a second.
All right, we'll work on that, and we'll
I think it'll come back, but I can still hear you, and I can still see you, so.
Well...
I'll work on that. So okay. What happened though?
So I took the car out. It was a Sunday morning. I was kind of tired, zoning out. I didn't even get to drive the car up Golden Gate Canyon. I'm on 25 here coming back into the city. And I just wasn't paying attention. And I got nailed for doing 90 and a 60 here on the interstate. And this is one of the, here in Denver, we have, I don't know if you want to call them traffic cops or whatever. They're part of the Denver police. But they drive around. They all drive around like these 2003 Ford, not Expeditions. What's the middle size?
Explorer.
Yeah, Expedition. Yeah, Excursion's the big one, right? They don't make anymore.
Yeah. They have Expeditions and then, yeah.
Yeah, and one of those things, you know, hell, I'm doing 90. This guy stopped. I could easily have kept going and that would have been the end of it. But I'm a good, honest guy and I pulled over. He turned on the siren for good measure, which... seemed to be a little bit of overkill, that was interesting. I see your fingers looming large on the screen here. Okay, you're back. Okay,
I'm
cool.
Back. Yeah.
I got a 90 and a 60 ticket. I don't think I was doing that speed, Doug.
Okay.
And I have a good attorney, so we'll see what happens. But even without an attorney, I have a pretty good record of getting these things dropped. So it's 6 points. I guess a 24 to 39 over ticket is 6 points. And I believe here in Colorado, if you're convicted on 12 points, you lose your license at 12 points in a year. But I feel pretty confident about this one. I can't complain about the cop. He was okay. But I think there was a little, I don't know, little envy in play, perhaps, because I was just driving in traffic. Of course, I'm the one that got the ticket, and I've always had this fantasy of just sort of taking off, and I have no doubt I could have been out of there quickly. But
I can't imagine. Do you still have your temporary?
I do have the temporary tag. Yeah.
So I do. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. I would have been long gone. I'm a good law abiding citizen. And, it was one of those moments. I'm so vigilant, you know, and paying attention when I'm driving. And I just, you know, I let my guard down for a second. I was even picking the guy up on my V1. He was shooting me with a laser and it took him two or three attempts, I think, to connect. And I just wasn't paying attention. It just didn't register. And again, I wasn't going any faster than anyone else, in that group. But of course, I was the one that got the ticket. So I get a ticket maybe once every 5 years, despite all my driving at speed, if you want to call it that. I'm a good driver and paying attention and I was just more upset at myself for not seeing this and I really beat myself up for a couple of days, you know. So that's my grievance of the week, if you want to call it that. So the part that sucks is now I've got to wait for a month. Until I can go into court. It's a mandatory appearance. Apparently anything 25 over. Of course, I'm thinking, you know, this is a range from 25 to 39. I could have been going 9 miles an hour faster than I was and had the same ticket.
Yeah, so, although there's some other things they can start tagging on to you.
I won't take it personally. It's obvious that this guy just sits there. He's got the automated ticket thing. You know, we were done in 5 minutes on to the next guy. I won't take it personally. I don't have the ticket in front of me. I would have I would tell you the guy's name, but
well, let's not do that.
We'll do that after the court date.
We'll see. So as you're at least for the moment as your attorney, I'm going to advise we don't do that. Like I said, we respect all of our law enforcement and he was just doing his job, but we are going to try and take care of this ticket for you.
Bootlicker, what are you talking about?
I'm just trying to, cover you right now.
I'm kidding. What I wanted to say was, you know, God, you should have seen me 2 minutes before you did. I always stick to the speed limit, especially when I'm in the GT4, because I mean, it's a hard car to drive fast, Doug.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah. I feel like you'd really have to work it.
Race, that one. That's, yeah.
I mean, so
well,
so
anyway,
you've had it for a while and you've had this experience with it, though. Yeah, do you find yourself, yeah, is it a car that like you'll look down and you'll realize you're going like 20 or 30?
Yeah, it's just sort of, like geared, nothing. So, you know, that's where you notice that it's geared long, right?
Yeah.
But no. I mean, it's just that much easier than the last car even. And of course I had that car for 3 years that the previous came and never once had an issue. So,
yeah.
I think there's something about a big wing that, catches the eye of our friends in blue here in Denver. But,
I think you just caught it. You like you said, it was a perfect storm of just not 100% paying attention. Yeah. And the guy was just there with a radar. I mean,
I totally saw him. I was actually surprised that, well, I shouldn't have been surprised, but yeah, of all the people, of course I was the one that, but anyway, but it was funny seeing this sort of beat up old Ford Expedition wheezing to try to just catch up to me cruising. I mean, it's just, is that what you want your pursuit vehicle?
Yeah, it's not ideal. How far did you get down? You got down pretty far before he actually like caught up with you.
No, I was just getting off at that exit anyway. I wasn't trying to run or hide or anything. I was a man about it or whatever. But there's something pretty ridiculous about a single individual driving around idling, you know, full shifts every day and a car as inefficient as a Ford Excursion, but that's another topic for another time.
Would you prefer they use the like BMW i3s, like the Los Angeles?
No, they should all be in Nissan Leafs.
Yeah,
they should all be in Nissan Leafs or Toyota Priuses. The only reason they're in big trucks like that is try to be intimidating or something. But I'm not gonna rag on this guy too much. He was okay. He did call me sir once. And I was also very polite and so I hope that my biting my tongue serves me well later. But we have cops who listen I'm not complaining. But this was just such a perfect example of just the revenue machine, and that's all it was. So anyway.
And that we'll work on this and give maybe the audience an update. I will say, I think as a top tip, there's no reason to try and argue with the police officer at the time on the side of the road. I don't think in the history of organized police work has anyone ever talked a cop out of giving him a ticket at that moment. So,
maybe through comedy, but I wasn't in the mood and I don't think he was.
Well, I mean, how about this? Yeah. No non-famous people have ever talked themselves out of it. So.
No, it's all good. And I'm confident that I will beat the ticket like I usually do. But I did actually.
Is this your first ticket in Colorado?
I had a ticket about 5 years ago in my 997, and it was, I believe, a 4-point ticket, and I got it dropped to no points pretty easily. If I get this dropped to 2 points, I'll call on a day and move on with my life. But but I did, in the short time that between this happening and me calling you for legal next steps, I did actually try the off the record.
Yeah. Oh, you there, Ryan?
It's funny because they say rates. What's up?
Ryan, I lost you there. I lost you there for a second. So you said you tried that. You're going to try
That COVID vaccine can't come quickly enough if for no other reason than we can stop Zooming for a decade. But So I tried this app, this off the record. Matt Farah always, he's been talking a lot lately about this. What was it, a 115 and a 55 or something, or a 65 that he got in L.A. He was test driving the newest, the 911 turbo, and same sort of situation. He was just sort of getting on or off the highway, and there was a cop there in the median. And
The last time I heard him talk about it, he that one's still pending. You don't think he's
well, right? It's so yeah. He's, yeah, I yeah. think his court date is coming up too. But it's funny. You go to the website, and we are not sponsored by Off the Record. Mm-hmm. And so this was a real world. Is it still testimonial if you're not impressed? I guess it is.
I would say the term testimonial is not necessarily descriptive. It's just telling you, you're testifying as to what your experience is. So
testify.
You were not
advertorial.
Yeah.
Well, so I you know, you go to the website. We've got a bad connection. Sorry, folks listening tonight. I feel like we're both going in and out. But I looked at the Doug. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
I can hear you.
We're back. Okay, we're gonna try this again. So well, when the new studio is built, Doug, we'll have no issues. So I looked up the ticket right away, and of course they advertise. You know, the rates start at $89 and go to $595 for their legal services, right? And of course, you're an attorney, I'm guessing that this. Not necessarily the best, the brightest, right? This is basically like they're pimping out some like junior lawyers with this thing, right? I mean, so yes, it's probably better than going in on your own, but I can't imagine, you know, not a lot of DU law faculty probably working weekends, fighting traffic tickets through off the record. But anyway, so I had this ticket, and it's not I would say in the realm of traffic tickets, probably somewhere in the middle, right? This is not a big ticket, not a insignificant ticket, right? A 6-point ticket, they quoted me $539 to fight this ticket, Doug. I was shocked. I mean, again, I could have been going a lot faster. You're telling me.
Yeah, but, yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, I'll do it for $520 if that makes a difference.
Right.
T-shirt. Yeah, that's interesting. So, well, you know, and when I talk, I mean, I'll tell you, I don't charge very much to go in and do speeding tickets, but like I know some people do, and I don't know, I don't think I don't think there's like I said, there's no grand necessarily, there's no like. The really good law students really learned the best arguments on how to get out of speeding tickets. Ones who weren't paying attention, they're the ones that, you know, that always, you know, that they end up lose for you. It's like, it's really relatively cut and dry. And
yeah.
You know, so I don't know why, I don't think that's necessarily worth it for you to do. So.
No, I agree. And not with you on my side, Doug. I can't imagine that any of them would be, any more enlightened or whatever on this than you. And what was I going to say? Lost my train of thought. But I mean, I guess, you know, past experience has told us that, you know, when we go in, again, I only have the experience with one ticket, and, you know, and that was 5 years ago here in Colorado, that basically when you go in, the prosecutor, I guess it is, tries to corner you and makes a deal just, you know, as a default sort of thing, right? At least that was my experience.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing just right off the top, they'll throw out something about a 4-pointer or whatever, but we'll see. Yeah. But, it's just, you know, take some of the shine off the car. You know, I mean, it's not like I have some great war story to go with it, you know, that I was, you know, battling a Ferrari in the canyons and, you know,
back and forth.
Right. This is as lame as a ticket, you know, as sort of routine and sort of, boring an experience, as it could have been. That's my first grievance.
Okay. All right. You're right on the general experience there. You know, was your other ticket, was that in Denver County or was that somewhere else?
That was in Gilpin County, which is the smallest county in the state, which happens to abut Jefferson County here, and it's all kind of it's not too far here. The court building or whatever is it's kind of a cinder block building up in the mountains, it's very small community, and so it was me, maybe one other person for a speeding ticket, and then there were like guys in like shackles and, in jumpsuits. Like, I mean, it wasn't traffic court. This was regular court that just happened. Traffic cases.
You're probably dealing with up there is the, like a full county criminal docket basically. So.
Right. It was a different experience. And then, now this is city of Denver, county and city, I guess one and the same. there's a name for that, right? When a city and a county are the same thing, and I can't remember what it is. But yeah, Denver, for all intents and purposes, right, is the city, is the county, and the county is the city. So
yeah, it's the city and county of Denver.
Yeah, and this was a city cop, and you know, sits there every day. Whatever, it's fine. But I am confident. I know that we'll get this reduced at the very least, but I know I have to worry about it for a month, and that sucks through the holidays and everything else. And it's just, like I said, it's not like I have a good story to go along with it. It was just, as boring as, but that's when it happens, right? When you let your guard down for a second, when you're not, you know, hyper vigilant or whatever. I mean, my V1 was literally warning me before he actually got me, and it just didn't register. I guess it'd been a long week.
When you originally told the story, I didn't catch that part, that your conductor's sitting there going up saying, it's there.
Anyway, but I actually don't have a whole litany of grievances, Doug. I just really had the one I thought maybe you would
just the one. Segue into. Well, okay. Well, that's fine. Well, that's
Sorry. No, I do have a grievance. And this is what This is what we were talking about before. So I want to hear your thoughts on this. But yeah. I don't know about the rest of the country, but here in Denver right now, Christmas tree is as good as gold, apparently. It is very difficult to find a Christmas tree here in Denver.
Apparently, the vaccinations are going to be cheaper and easier to get than the Christmas trees.
Yes. Well, that's the place you and Kathleen went. The COVID testing station was still in that parking lot, but the Christmas tree place had apparently gone back Christmas to trees. Bethlehem or wherever they go. But
you had, so you went and got your Christmas tree today, and it sounds like, based on what you were saying, you had quite a saga to try and get one. So
usually every year we get a Christmas tree. We travel for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, don't break into my house over Thanksgiving next year. but you'll forget this by then. Usually we travel around Thanksgiving, and we usually have a rental car. And on the way back, we just go get a tree and we slap it on top of the rental car. We go to the Optimist Club lot. That's only maybe a mile from our house here. It's all very easy. They have like 14 different varieties of trees. It's mm-hmm. reasonable. It goes to charity, whatever. It's perfect. They have Santa mm-hmm. stops by. But they apparently already sold out. So couldn't do that. So, and we didn't want to go to Home Depot or whatever, right? Well, little did we know,
you'd
just be glad you're trying to find a tree, right?
You're trying to support local businesses. Like,
yes, exactly. And so the first place we found, if you know Denver, you know that there is a strip club, called, the Smoking Tire. What is it called?
Shotgun
Willie's. And then they have Smoking something, but the smoking gun, I think. But Shotgun Willie's is, I personally have never been, but it casts a long shadow here in this part of Denver, because it's technically part of this little municipality called Glendale that's like three blocks across, and it's surrounded by Denver on all sides. But it's a pretty decent, it's this stretch of Colorado Boulevard. It's where the Mercedes AMG dealership is, the BMW dealership.
Yeah, it's like a very prominent spot. Intersection of Colorado and Cherry Creek Boulevard and a couple other things. It's like it's a very well-traveled, very busy, very prominent spot with this giant, giant sign up there. So random.
Only exists because it's not part of Denver, but that's a whole other story. But I guess what I'm getting at is it's adjacent to some pretty pricey neighborhoods, nice, decent part of town, whatever.
Cherry Creek is like the most, one of the more prominent neighborhoods in Denver. So,
well, we joke right about that's all the exotic cars are, they're not in the canyons, they're, by the mall in Cherry Creek. So this roughly this area. And sure enough, we were having the damnedest time trying to find a Christmas tree lot, much less a Christmas tree. And sure enough, there's this corner right there that's just full. Mm-hmm. Like, it must have just had a delivery or something, right? So we stopped. I don't know, again, if I don't know if this is unique to Denver, Doug, or if this is the case all across the country, but if you can find a Christmas tree, they're very expensive, these Christmas trees. And this particular place probably had everything from about a 2 or 3 foot sort of apartment size tabletop tree to probably a 12 or 15 foot, tree that's twice the height of my own house. But Even the smallest ones, Doug, were over $100. we're talking about a 2-foot-tall, 3-foot-tall tree over $100. And, you know, I don't know if someone just sort of went out one night and hastily like tripled the price on all these or what, but there were trees that were almost $1,000, which is crazy.
You were telling me that. I was shocked. I was shocked to hear what they were charging at this lot. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah. And so, it begs the question, is that first of all, like, is there a shortage of Christmas trees this year for some reason?
Everyone's staying home, so every house has a Christmas tree.
That was the debate that got sparked in our house, is that Kathleen's, my wife, says that, I think everyone's home and everyone's getting a Christmas tree. And I was like, I think everyone that gets a Christmas tree always gets a Christmas tree.
Even if they travel, they still get a Christmas tree.
There's any extra people getting a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we get Christmas trees when we're not quarantined in our house, right? So.
True.
Yeah.
That
was the debate in our house. So do you think that is playing a factor in
probably
this?
Probably a little bit of everything, right? And it's just like toilet paper, right? There's plenty of toilet paper, but there's still shortages, right? Like,
here's what I think maybe, though. I think maybe it's not that more people got them. It's just more people got them early because we are probably bored and we're sitting at home.
That's probably it. Yeah. And maybe they're using some of these trees for toilet paper. I have no idea, Doug. But
that's true. So that's the second step. Yeah. Yeah.
We came up with this sort of on the spot logic that if we started traveling away from the city center or away from sort of the retail area, that they will get cheaper. So we went east and we stopped. We were joking because there's a stretch of several temple synagogues that we were driving past. There's also a Greek church with a big gold dome that my daughter calls the Golden Booby. But we were traveling past their two or three temples, and we said kind of jokingly, we should go to the Christmas tree lot at one of the synagogues. Well, there was one. So we stopped there next, and it was a little cheaper. Now, the trees were a little scrawnier. I think these were Colorado trees, so they're not, you know, they tend to be a little kind of more sparse or spare or whatever. And sure enough, they were, a mile away, they were about 2/3 of the price.
Okay.
So we figured, let's keep going.
Yeah. It's like we're getting a third off for every mile or so we drive east.
That's it. Yeah. So eventually we ended up at a Lowe's Hardware in Aurora where we paid $45 for a nice single tree. So, we're in good shape now. Not quite as romantic, you know, going to a Lowe's Hardware, but
when you get it home, the tree looks just like if you went into an idyllic forest and field and cut it down.
This is better than a lot of the ones we saw. Although for next year, Doug, have you ever done this here in Colorado where you buy a permit and you can cut your own tree on the U.S. forest lands? It's only like $8 or something. You basically just go and you cut down a tree or whatever, you know. We might do that next year. If for no other reason, then I won't be able to afford to go anywhere else. I've been talking. How have you been?
I'm good. We our Christmas tree search was much easier. We did right after Thanksgiving I just went down to the local lot and picked one up and brought it home. So
incidentally, a lot we tried. This was the place where only the
COVID test center was left. My question is, how is the GT4 for carrying home a Christmas tree? Does that rear spoiler support it? Like,
like YouTubers, I was too busy eating my breakfast burrito off of it. Even the Tiguan, I hesitate to get close to
that could have been a great picture there, though, with the tree on the GT4.
You know what? I could Photoshop that. Maybe we should put that on. You know, by the way, we're not big on social media, but our Facebook page, do you still have my old car as the header? Because I think we need to upgrade that. Maybe we do slap a Christmas tree up on that. But
we should probably upgrade that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can use that as the steering committee Christmas card for next year.
That's right. Send it out to all our friends and sponsors.
I'm good. It's been kind of quiet over here. I haven't driven much. I haven't gotten out much, honestly, but, don't have a lot to report in that department.
BRZs.
Yeah, still loving the new BRZ. You know, so. But yeah. No one's driven one yet though, except for the one test driver, Scott. I think Scott Speed is the only one that's. Although I did see, I watched the latest Jim Khanna video with Travis Pastrana.
Okay.
Did you watch that?
No, it keeps popping up on YouTube. I guess I've never really been into those, but maybe I should check it out.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. It's interesting. I mean, sometimes it's a little repetitive. It's just the car doing donuts again, spinning around. It's like, okay. But there are some pretty incredible shots. It's a little different than, I feel like he does a little bit different take than Ken Block used to. He's a slightly different sort of take on these things.
Technique.
I thought it was interesting. Some real great shots, just amazing, like high speed. Like he has this one shot where there's a really well known shot where he's jumping over a boat over water.
I think that's the thumbnail they use on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's actually, I feel like there's one that's even better. I mean, he's just driving on a road. It's just a country road, apparently near his house, and he just launches it. I mean, he goes like 150 feet while he must be doing like 140. I mean, it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
And they get it from like 9 different camera angles. So,
well,
you know,
I'll have to check that out.
The one thing that got me thinking is that I don't understand why they don't hire like a crew like this for a Hollywood movie when they need to do a car chase. Some of the shots in these things are incredible. Yeah. You know, like they're artful. Well, they're like long panning shots and like the car, you know, just, you know, doing these really graceful, like, you know, power slides and you know, corners and things like that. And you get a real, you know, sense of the speed and danger. Whereas like, you know, I feel like in a lot of Hollywood movies, it's like, you know, it's 1,000 cuts and you don't really know what's going on and it's just a mess, you know,
or it's just CGI or whatever.
Or yeah. Or even worse CGI. But even when it's practical, I just feel like they don't know how to, a lot of people don't know how to direct that, and why these guys just don't rent themselves out for just a second unit or third unit, you know? So, but there, the BRZ made a quick cameo in the Jim Khanna video, because it's, you know, it's Subaru. The big deal is that Subaru was taking it back. It was a Subaru highly modified STI race car was the main attraction. But the BRZ has a little cameo in one of the scenes. So
nice. We'll have to check that.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's worth the 8 minutes. So.
Okay. Well, that's perfect. That's about all I can. My ADD will allow me these days. I haven't watched that, but you know what I have been watching a lot of are the Nürburgring videos, and I've never been to the Nürburgring. You know, we've talked about maybe, you know, doing a trip, or the everyday driver or whatever guys do a trip, or we're doing a trip every year. Yeah. Definitely a bucket list thing. I'm convinced that, you know, I could tame that in a lap or two, but I'm kidding. I would just love to get a sub 10 minute. Time. I think that's all I would ask for in a fast car. But I realized, and I guess I'd heard this mentioned in one of the videos before, but apparently in the last couple of years, the governing body of the Nürburgring has really cut down on what gets shown from the Nürburgring. And apparently they're really sensitive about any crashes or showing injuries or, you know, they just don't want to show the crashes basically. And as I understand it, the Nürburgring for insurance purposes, at least on the, is operate, you know, legally as a public road. Right. So, if you get in an accident, mm-hmm. that your insurance company has to pay, you know, just as if it run the street or whatever.
Yeah.
So you watch these Nürburgring videos, you know, whether it's Robert Mitchell or this, is it Misha Chaudhrin, and I'm pronouncing his name wrong. There are a ton of these guys that post regular Nürburgring videos, and, you know, and it is funny because you never see a crash anymore, but I found a video on YouTube the other day. It was just crashes and it was fairly recent. So I was a little surprised to see it. So mm-hmm. Somehow this had, you know, bypassed the sensors or whatever. And there are a ton of people that bite it on the Nürburgring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, it seemed like it was about every 10th car at times. And of course, a lot of the wrecks come from these guys. They all seem to be BMW drivers, but there's an S curve, right, who – or, you know, in the Nürburgring where they like to drift around, and you know, a good number of them just don't know what they're doing, and this, they're, you know, the rear end swings around, and you know, and then they go right into the wall or whatever. And so I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, through the video games, through seeing all these videos, it seems like the Nürburgring is this, has become this easy thing, but you don't realize how many people, just the sheer numbers of people who are crashing hard on the Nürburgring, yeah. But you don't think about it because they don't show it, and they don't show it because they don't want to, you know, obviously dissuade people from coming. And the Nürburgring is a treasure, right? I mean, I totally get they have to, you know, they have, yeah. It's good, you know, bad optics, right? If,
you know, well, yeah, these, it's bad, it's, yeah, these it's crash bad reels or whatever. You go there and you're likely to just get like, you know, absolutely just, you know, someone from like some tourist is going to crash into you, or you're going to crash, you know, if you're, because it's dangerous or something. So, I feel like I've seen a lot of videos. I haven't checked to see if any of them are recent. When do you think this crackdown has started happening?
Like last year or two, some of the things I've read, apparently, and from what I understand, and I won't pretend to know anything about the Nürburgring other than, you know, what I've seen on TV and stuff. But, I think like a lot of race tracks, right, that aren't in the middle of nowhere. And I think the Nürburgring, you know, bisects or surrounds, I think, something like 5 or 6 villages. You know, so it's an integral part of where it is. But even this place that's been there, what, since 1926 or something, someone will fact check me. But, you know, they're constantly fighting, you know, against noise complaints. And, you know, the place has been there for something like 100 years or close to 100 years. And they have some of the same, they're going up against the same thing a lot of other race tracks are, right? That aren't in the middle of the desert somewhere, you know, and that's noise encroaching, you know, development, you know.
I think it's safety. Sonoma. Sonoma has that, has a big problem with that, I think.
And isn't that silly? Because, I mean,
Laguna Seca, I guess it's Laguna Seca, right?
Yeah. I guess that's what it is, where they have some pretty strict, I don't know what it is. Exhaust limitations, exhaust noise limitations. Yep. And so much that even some cars with stock, you know, systems bypass the, you know, so they of course do all these tricks like downturn pipes and, you know, other things, but or they'll close the valve right by the microphone, you know, the track each lap that is recording, or however that works.
That's what they do. They should put a muffler on the microphone that measures the cars.
Yeah, no, it's well, and so I guess, you know, the Nürburgring, you know, like all these other tracks, you know, they have to be, you know, hypersensitive of anything that you know would cast them in a bad light or whatever. But the next time you're feeling really confident in your skills, driving skills, you should check out some of these videos, because, man, some of them really hit hard. And it's just, and I guess what always hits me is just how quickly you can go from like hero to zero, right? It's a very fine line, you know. You know, it's just a lesson there for all of us, I guess. But anyway.
I know that feeling. I've watched over and over again, and I recommend you take a look at this, and our audience should take a look at this. There was there's one video, and I don't exactly remember how to search for it, what the terms I'd use, but if you do Nürburgring, you know, like Subaru STI close call, I think will probably do it.
Okay.
There's a pack of three, I think. I don't know if they're STIs or if they're just highly modified WRXs, but they're like sort of the bug eye generation, you know, WRXs, and they are cooking. I mean, there's two different videos, because at least two of the guys had videos on their dash.
And this is just a track day or a twist farting?
I don't know. I mean, there's other cars on the track. It's pretty long. There's a long lead in to the incident where, you know, they're passing other cars and they're getting around them cleanly.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're humming. I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched enough videos, but to me, these guys seem like they really, they're moving quickly and they know what they're doing. But they come up on as they come up and they come around a bend, there's a bunch of traffic stopped because of another crash. You know, it completely catches them by surprise. And these guys, and it's a narrow section of the track, so you know, you got the metal guardrails
on
both sides, and somehow these guys all skid and slide. They're on the grass, they're, you know, going sideways and backwards, and there's like 4 or 5 cars almost stopped there, and no one hits anybody.
That's amazing.
they all basically come to a complete stop, and they're all, you know, and the two different guys who have the, you know, video cameras are all just like, whoa, aren't we special? Well, like,
and I think
that, haven't we done well? Like, they have these thick English accents.
Right, well, chalk it up to the driving skills. Of course, it's easy to think, too, that all these people know what they're doing. And you watch some of these videos where they obviously don't know what they're doing, and really, really like sort of basic car control stuff that these people don't seem to know, understand. Well, but
it's, well, there's that, and I know I've watched another video where the Subaru was trying to get a lap record with one of their later one of the earlier STIs, and they had a professional rally driver, and they owned the course that day. They like closed it down, and the guy goes, he sets out to go. And he comes around a corner, and one of the tow trucks is out there on the road, in the middle of the road. So it's like, you know, and that was supposed to be under the most controlled, like, circumstances. He comes up and over, and it's just like, whoa, like, you know, there's a big flatbed right in the middle of the road. So
I think it's heavily volunteer operated, too. So, there always comes to that sort of casual element, I want to say, but I figured
it, even a German casual attitude would be better than like the American, strict attitude, you know?
Right. So. Well, don't get me wrong. If this were, you know, if these were all Americans, this place would have closed in, you know, 1943, maybe that wasn't the right year, but,
call it the Well, if it was still around while I was practicing law, I would just sue it and, you know, make a fortune off of it, but I'd get it closed down.
So. Well, see, right. That's what happens
here in America. So, you know,
exactly. Hey, we should take a quick break here because what are we at?
Yeah, we're at 51 minutes.
All right, let's break.
We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll do one more segment.
Okay. We're back. It's the steering committee. Doug, you said you just finished the last beer in the house. Was it a bruise?
So sad.
Beer?
No, unfortunately,
you don't have anything left. That's like that doesn't count.
The bruise is sadly long gone. We went out to reach out to our beloved sponsor, Bruise Beer, who makes the badass Belgian beers.
And are your gooder sunglasses these days, Doug?
I have a new pair that I'm using right now. I have them. They are black frames with red arms, I guess you call them. What do you call the piece that goes over your ears?
What do you call those? Call them arms.
Yeah, we'll call them arms. Yeah, red arms.
A couple legs wrapped around your head.
So I still have my other pair. I have my my mobility gorilla squats, and so these are. I have a new pair. They're red and black. I don't have a red and black car, so it doesn't match anything I have. But you know, I'll just
match your can't afford new cars. But
I'll just buy new sunglasses. So you know. Or I'll get them from our sponsor. So, check out gooder.com, GOOD.com. They actually have a brand new line of Rolling Stone themed sunglasses out there.
I saw that. Yeah, pretty impressive. Gooder sunglasses.
Yeah, they've got some good.
What that
got
cost you?
Interesting. They're the same price as the regular ones. I don't know what it costs. No, I mean,
would they pay the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I don't. You know, Mick Jagger doesn't mess around with that stuff. You know, he gets paid. Yes, he does. Keith Richards, he gets paid. You know, they don't do that for free.
I saw an interesting car. Obviously, the person driving it must be getting paid.
Yes.
A car I've never seen.
Might have been Mick Jagger.
It had Colorado plates, but I guess you never know, right? Yeah. And before I say what this car is, I've since come to find out that this car apparently is a regular in the Cars and Coffee circuit. And as you know, I don't go to Cars and Coffee, Doug, for a couple of reasons. First of which is very early. No, I don't like people milling around my car. It makes me nervous. All these people, all these nice cars, kids on Razor scooters. It's a mess. I don't, you know, maybe if we lived in Malibu, I would go, but apparently this car that I saw is a regular here in Denver. It was Colorado plated, so kudos to the owner for not, you know, coming up with a fake LLC in Montana for paying your taxes like the rest of us. Which, by the way, I registered the GT4. It's no supercar, but that wasn't by far the most expensive car here in Colorado, Doug, and you know this, but you pay a huge amount when you buy a new car and you plate it. And I believe that it goes down, I don't know, 10-20% or something each year moving forward. Maybe it's more. Yeah. But let's just say if you bought a $100,000 car, mm-hmm. you're paying over $2,000 just for that plate the first year, and then the next year it's something like $1,500 or whatever. So when I see a car like the one I saw, a Bugatti Chiron, you realize that's probably a $3 to $6 million, call it a $4 million car. To plate a $4 million car here in Colorado would be, it would be about $120,000, Doug.
I was going to say, in my head, I was doing the calculations, and I said, I think it buys you a Cayman GT4, is that what the plating costs?
Which is crazy. And that's the
plate. A nice one. One year. Like a well-equipped
sales tax. Yeah. What's that?
A well-equipped GT4.
Maybe even get the buckets at that price, but
you might even get those. Yeah.
It's just so when I do see a car like a Bugatti plated in Colorado, kudos to them because they're paying their share, unlike some of these other people. But
yeah.
On the same, on the other side of the coin, if I were in that position, maybe I would start an LLC in Montana too. So,
it depends
on who I'm talking to, I guess.
Well, you see it enough that, that you assume that people get away with it here, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I saw that. The conversation we were going to get into was sort of rare car spotting and what you've seen, what you haven't seen. So now for you, you can take
it off my
list. Yeah.
I've never seen a Bugatti of any vintage on the street. I've never seen a Veyron. I've never seen, an EB110, which would be really cool.
And I would say that, you said it's a regular car shows, but you get extra points because you saw it on the road.
And that
makes it more exotic.
This was sort of a black on black, triple black, whatever you want to call it. It was the regular Chiron versus, like, I think there's some sort of super sports model or something now. But it was so cool because I happened to be in the passing lane at the time. I'm in the Tiguan. I knew that as soon as he got over in the passing lane in front of me, he came on from a ramp that he was going to take off. This was on Highway 6 between, Denver and Golden. He took off and he floored it. So I floored the Tiguan just to sort of see, the huge, vast gulf in performance. And it was truly like I was standing still. It was a rail gun, only way I can, I can describe it, where it's just, you think Teslas are fast, you think, a Taycan or whatever, but this was just on another level. So, very cool car. I thought I was, I was pretty impressed with myself for having spotted it, and it took a second to register even what it was. It's a small car, but it's also low and wide and, quite a thing to behold. And it took a minute to register. But I had never seen a Bugatti on the road. So
that's what, And that's what always gets me when I'm driving and, I see something out of the corner of my eye or, on the other side, like of a highway or something like that. It's always, if it's low, I can tell if it's low and, wide, basically, even if it's from far away, I'm like, well, that's something, let's keep an eye on that. And then you see what it is. More often than not, it turns out just for me, it seems to always be like a Corvette or something.
I know. Right. Or even like a Fiero or something. But
from, yeah.
This, I mean, it's a Fiero, if you squint, kind of looks like an old Lotus Esprit or something. Right.
That's gotta be up there though. I mean, especially for me, if you take out cars that I've seen at things like Cars and Coffees and museums and stuff like that, I'm trying to think what the most interesting thing I've ever seen. I did see a Bugatti Veyron on the street in Boston, so I think that counts. It wasn't a car show.
It was blocks.
It was just parked in front of a hotel, there. So no, it wasn't on blocks. It was, okay. No.
Well,
it was,
you know why it wasn't on blocks? Because it's got that that proprietary Michelin system where you have to send the car to France to have the wheels replaced, right?
I was gonna say, doesn't it cost $27,000 to replace a tire or something?
I believe they have to FedEx overnight it or something, the tires at least. But
no,
but it was, no, it's,
It was a white one, but it had like, it's weird. It had like, I think I told you this, it had like, sponsored livery things all over it. Like it was in like the bull rally, bull run or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, this got me thinking, you know, the cars that I've still never seen. And Bugatti was for me sort of the big one. I've still never seen a Koenigsegg on the street, and I've still never seen a Pagani. But the car that I really want to see as much as those, Doug, is my favorite terrible car, the La Forza. I don't think to this day I've ever seen one of those.
And you had a chance to park one right in your driveway. There was one on Bring a Trailer.
Well, that's the thing. There, you know, you can't get one for about $4,000. So, those of you don't know, and Doug, you didn't know what a La Forza was, I think, until you.
I told you, but
you know, and I love those cars that you know, they're still out there, right? Like barn finds, you know. La Forza, I believe it was made in the early '90s, and I think it was built on a, and I'm probably butchering this name, but an Iveco, I think, truck chassis. So it's like a light. It's not an over the road semi truck chassis, but like a, I don't know, if you ordered a new washer and dryer and it came on a box truck, right? Like the truck part, right?
Yeah.
And so even though in pictures it just sort of looks like maybe a Kia Sportage from like the early 90s, apparently in person they're what's the opposite of 7/8 scale? This is sort of like, it's bigger than it should be, right? Like,
yeah. Well, because I think I've seen like pictures with people around it, and it's like when you look at it by itself with no one around it, it looks like it's small, but then, yeah, it's actually like quite large,
massive,
right?
I mean, massive, yeah. And I think this was one of those trucks of that era where people were, you know, companies were taking sort of military trucks and making them into civilian vehicles. So sort of after the Lamborghini LM, you know, 002, you know, this is sort of Hummer era. I think I want to say this was like an Italian military vehicle or something, and or the Geländewagen for that matter. But apparently it was like if you took a commercial truck, dressed it up a little bit, and put like the interior from a Maserati B Turbo from the 80s, the tufted leather, the sort of, you know, birch wood, you know, the clock in the dash. You know, so I have never to this day. Yeah. And the only place I see them is on Bring a Trailer. So go figure. But what have you still yet to see?
Well, I'd say the big one that I would like that would kind of be at the top of my list. I'd like to check off would be an F40. I've never seen an F40 in the flesh, not even at a museum or a show or anything like that. Yeah. Let alone like on the road. I mean, if I saw one on the road driving, that would be insane. But never seen that. I've seen an F50, and really? I don't think I've seen an Enzo, and I know I haven't seen a LaFerrari. And I really honestly, I don't even care. I don't really necessarily.
No, an F40 is so much better, Doug.
Yeah, an F40 would be so much better. And I think, you know, maybe a close second to that is. Like a 288 GTO, I haven't seen.
Didn't we just see one of those at Porsche of Colorado Springs?
No, that was a Boxster. That was a 512 Boxster.
Was that what it was? Okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, I always get this confused.
Yeah, no, GTOs are going to be pretty. They're pretty rare. I think there's only like 180 of them or something. So,
but you're talking like what year? You're talking about
the 288 GTO is like from 84 to 86 or something. Yeah. It was right before it's one of these cars that was, it was the Ferrari was developing for Group B and rallying. There was going to be a road. There's going to be a tarmac only division. And they were developing for that. And then Group B got shut down. They were kind of halfway along the way. So they just homologated them, I guess, for the road and put them out there. They're weird because they look, They're built from the ground up as a new car, but they look like the 308s, kind of like on steroids. Yeah. But it's like it's a different car altogether, different engine, you know, everything. So, but they made it look like one of their other cars, which is very strange, I think. So, they're pretty amazing, and then the F40 would be the other one. So,
well, and you and I get excited when we see like a W8 Passat or a W12 Phaeton.
Your question made me think about what would be my great terrible car that I'd like to see, though, again.
I have to think about that for a second.
Well, Doug, your family owned so many of the great, terrible cars in the 80s and 90s.
Well, I know, right there. I just had to look out of my window.
Like an F40. What was it, the Mercure?
Not only have I seen a Mercure XR4 Ti, I actually drove one for about a year and a half.
Yeah, no, it's there was a pretty sweet. What was the Scorpio, the Mercure Scorpio, there was one on Bring a Trailer that was beautiful, had like 32,000 miles or something. It was insane. Yeah. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I wish I'd seen that. That's it. Because you don't see those. You don't see those at all. You don't see the Scorpios.
No, you don't. No. And I wanted to send it to you, but I assumed you'd seen it. And of course, I should stop assuming. But So yeah, for me, the LaFour, I want to dab that LaForza Square on my car bingo card here. Let's see. So I've seen a couple of, Countaches and things like that, I never saw until later. But yeah, I would love to see I still don't think I've ever seen an LM002. That would be another cool one to see.
I have seen one of those. Maybe this is something, maybe you do need to go to Cars and Coffee if you
want. Yeah, I know.
You'll knock some of these off, but I saw one of those here in Denver, at old Cars and Coffee up at Lafayette. And that was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And I've seen at other Cars and Coffees, I've seen, seen some pretty good, so there's some great stuff here in Colorado.
There is. I just wish I would see more of it out in the canyons, but
You probably won't see the LM out there in the canyons too much.
No.
And the guy was telling me that the tires are so expensive. I don't think you're going to see that driven around much in general. No, I think.
But to this day, that I don't think there's a car on this planet that has a better stance than a Lamborghini LM002. Those tires. I can't remember the size of those, but there's just a crazy.
I mean, and they're so wide, front and back. So wide. And wasn't it something, weren't they like based on like tires for like an airplane, like a commercial jet or something? Like,
well, maybe, I don't know, but
I think so. Yeah. I think I vaguely have a recollection of that because they're heavy and overbuilt and industrial or something. They're just huge. So
this just sort of hits home. I don't know that I'll ever own an Italian car, right? Like everyone should own a Ferrari or whatever, but like knowing me, when at my old Cayman, the tale of me, tapping the bumper with the rental Mustang I had, and it always bothered me that little dimple was in the front. Like, I need a car to be as perfect as it can be when it gets to me, so that I can try to keep it perfect as long as I can until inevitably something happens, and then now I must move on, right? The car is tainted. But the Italian cars, I feel like, unlike some of the German cars, it would never, even new, right? Yeah. It would be as good as I was. Well, maybe that's the secret. Maybe you buy something that's inherently imperfect, right? And then you enjoy it more, right?
Well, then, you don't get twisted up too much when, like, something, small incidental, like a little, someone bumps into it or scratches it.
Right, or a raindrop hits it, Doug.
Yeah, well, if we're talking about you,
So
I do remember to sit out, if it's allowed to sit out night outside overnight for one night. So
no, I know, but I do remember the time where I was and when I realized that Porsches didn't melt if they went out into the rain.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They really don't.
They don't.
They'll immediately start. No, immediately well, start rusting and become worthless.
Although that it's like, but why take the chance?
No, I know. Speaking of, I'm very excited, Doug, because I get to take my car in about a week to Denver Auto Shield here in Denver to have PPF and I guess ceramic coating, whatever they're gonna do. I'm very excited about that. I know that not only will it make the car faster. not kidding, but it'll be great.
Obviously,
I won't have to worry so much. It'll take a little bit of that worry away, right? Like, we all know that PPF isn't, it doesn't protect you from everything, but it certainly gives you some peace of mind. And so I'm looking forward to
doing it. You can take it out and you can, drive it and relax a little bit more, and you'll be a little bit more protected from like rock chips and little, sort of little everyday hazards that you really can't avoid. So
yeah.
you're really torn. You want to keep this car perfect, but you also love to drive, and driving a car obviously is inherently dangerous if you're in the relentless pursuit of like perfection, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's a tough.
The only way to truly keep a car perfect is to like buy it and have it hermetically sealed in a vault, basically.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but then that's not good either, right? Because you know.
Well, yeah, that causes different problems.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So it's all about finding that balance, right? So it's.
I know you listen now to Spike's Car Radio, but have you gone back and listened to the archive at all?
A little bit. Which
there was one, I know there was one when they were looking at some cars. They were in a collection. It was an old Porsche, and I think it was, I can't remember what country this guy was from, but they were reading off like the list of what this guy had done. You know, he bought the car and did park it, but like it was insane what he did to try and preserve. Yeah. I mean, even to the point of like he had foam insert pieces that he used so that the door seals didn't completely close, so that rubber around the doors didn't get like collapsed, you know, like he wanted it closed, you know, so they weren't, the doors weren't open where they could get like bumped into and scratched. It's I'll look it up right now and I'll try.
Interesting. Yeah. I learned something very interesting. I was watching JM on Cars, a YouTuber. He's a British guy. He took out a GT 996 GT3 RS for a test drive. It was a really low mile, like 10, 11,000 mile car. And this is a car that has a carbon fiber hood bonnet in the front, right? I feel weird calling it a hood when the engine's in the back, but let's call it the bonnet, right? If you really want to come across like a jerk. But under the bonnet was carbon fiber, and apparently this car at one time had been PPF, it had the paint protection film put on. But and I don't know if this is just this car, or if this is, or maybe the early PPF technology. But apparently, when you wrap, or at least in this case, in this particular GT3 RS, when you wrap carbon fiber like that on one side, I guess carbon fiber is porous, right? In a way that metal isn't, and so it kind of wicks moisture through, and that moisture gets trapped sort of then underneath the paint protection film, and so on this otherwise perfect low mile car. This whole hood bonnet was covered in dimples from where moisture had sort of wicked through the hood. Again, this is in England too. Maybe they have their own moisture issues or whatever. But I will have to ask our friends at Denver Auto Shield if this is something they've heard of, where if you have a carbon fiber. Now, and as far as I know, there are no significant carbon fiber bits, if any, on the GT4. Mm. But when you get into they tend to use more carbon fiber, and I just never heard of that happening before. I'd be curious to know, like, is it the fault of the PPF of the insulation, whatever? It was really. I'd be interested. And all I could see were these dimples then on the hood as he drove down the street, and you know me, that drove me nuts. So.
Well, that would drive me nuts too, because the person went to the trouble of putting the stuff on to protect the car, and they would have been, in that case, it sounds like they would have been better off not putting it on. That's just so you're saying that the carbon fiber itself, like it. Well, where's the moisture getting wicked from?
Well, maybe
surface down through into it, or.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe the car had gotten wet, or, you know, been driven in heavy water or whatever. But for whatever reason, the water was then presumably being trapped between the carbon fiber, sort of like Gore-Tex, right? It must be like a one way sort of. You know, I would think now that the paint protection films maybe breathe more, but I have no idea. So it's a question I'll have to ask when I take the car into Denver Auto Shield. But I think I take it in the 21st or 22nd. I get it back, I think, Christmas Eve or the day before. But looking forward to having the car.
You can ask them to wrap it up for you. You can pretend it's
put a big bow, pretend it's new again, you know.
Yeah. Just pretend it's like a present for you. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, it's going to be my present for a few years, I'm afraid. But I feel like I bonded with the car the one day we ended up mixing it up with that 360 we talked about. But I feel like I've been so busy with work lately. Even the day I picked it up, it was a rush to go down to bring it home. You know, we only really had a day or two where I've really been able to get out and enjoy it. And I think part of it too is just not having the paint protection film. You know, a little nervous about it. But it's interesting. If you watch Obsessed Garage, Matt Mormon, I believe his name is, he picked up a new GT4 about the same time I did. His is the blue color. But he's one of these, well, name of the show, Obsessed Garage. He's super OCD, detail guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. He also has, I think, a GT3 RS. A 9912, but he was talking about how he opted not to do any paint protection film on the GT4. His logic was, lives in Florida, the roads are pretty good, don't have a lot of stones and things that get kicked up. And he thought that when it came to the track, he'd be taking his GT3 RS. I don't know. I thought it was interesting because everyone now just, it's automatic, right? You get a nice car, sports car, you get the paint protection film. And I'm sort of wondering if people are, either maybe the ceramic coatings are so good that helps. Mm. But anyway, I'm opting to do it. I've had good luck. I've done it with my last two sports cars. It 100%. Both my last cars were black, of course, which I think made it even more important. But I guess what I'm getting is I'll really be able to relax once that stuff is on. And if we get a few nice driving days this winter, right now we've got snow on the ground, but if we get a few nice driving days, I think this will help me sort of bond with the car. And of course now I'm going to be afraid to, exceed the speed limit. So
yeah, well, there's that. I hope we get some meltage here between now and when you drop off the car.
Well, that's the other thing, right?
Do we need to get a flatbed for you to bring it over to the shop?
I don't want to pick up a beautifully, clean and detailed car and then take out the elements either, of course, right? But anyway, so what else is going on?
Not too much. I don't know if you saw my post. I was asking, should I go and buy a WRX that's almost exactly like the one I used to own? I don't know why I was feeling pretty nostalgic about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I think I know what your answer is, but what's your, give me your spiel on that. Should we try and go back and buy a car that we loved and had to give up?
I'm not going to say no. I think it would be dumb to go back and buy a car you didn't love, but, which I think some people do, right? Because they figure like they I have to make this work, people that have, just
it's
never
like
really
a bad
connected
relationship.
With,
it's just yeah, get out no, of it.
But,
yeah.
But it's like, Porsches, especially 911s or whatever, everyone's supposed to love a 911, but that are, they're not made for everyone or whatever. There are other cars, Mercedes AMGs or whatever, which to me are just too bustle car for me. I prefer more of a finesse car or whatever. But I guess what I'm getting at is I'd never go back and say buy another S4 Audi or whatever, sort of, that type of car with a big V8 or whatever like I had. I just, if it didn't work the first time, I think you're probably this not, is a car you love.
It was a car I loved, and it was a car I gave up, not because I was tired of it, but because our family situation changed. So it's like there was a reason it left artificially before I thought I was going to have it forever. So that's why I was getting nostalgic about it. So, I don't think so. I don't even remember where. I think it's actually, I believe it's in New Jersey. It didn't look like it had much rust on it, honestly. Although he's selling it with snow tires, so
that's what he buys. Like a couple bodies in the trunk, Doug. Is that true?
Well, yeah. I know. There's also a '97 Land Cruiser on Bring a Trailer right now with no reserve, sitting at about $5,000, and everyone's kind of, that's the 97 is one of the sort of the highly desirable ones. And everyone's like, it's because it's covered in rust basically. So
I think I saw that, and that was the last year of that series, if I'm not
that's
mistaken.
That's right. Yeah. Right? It's the last year of the 80s.
Yeah.
Series.
Do you know what?
The good ones are starting to really fetch, mid twenties to mid thirties.
I was going
to
say, that's,
and, this one is sitting obviously much below that, but, it looks a lot like the old white one that we used to have actually too. I had one like that as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to pull the trigger on that one either, but yeah, I don't know. What would, of all your past cars, what would be the one you'd be most likely to go buy again though? Like,
I think my 997 Carrera S, just because it was a really special car. It was a launch car. It had the yellow brakes, the carbon brakes. It was a cool car, full leather and all that. That would probably be the one that or maybe my first real car, with my 320 BMW, although that had a little rust on it in 1992, Doug.
Yeah,
if that car's still around, it's probably, you know, nothing but rust now.
So yeah, when it was 10 years old, it had a lot of rust. So now it's just just a pile in a box.
I do regret selling that 996.
Well, and I'm not saying you have to buy. I'm not saying you have to buy your exact one. I'm just saying buy one like a similar one. But like,
No, I regret selling that only because it was paid off. You know, it was. I would love to have had that like in the car now with the GT4, or in the garage rather now with the GT4. That's a car. I think I'd be surprised at maybe just how far cars have come since then, but. That's a car I just think it still looks great. The proportions are great. I think I would buy another 997, you know, Porsche. And I'd either do like a, I'd either probably just do like a GT3, go all out, or I'd get like, you know, I don't know, just a, you know, pretty simple, you know, model again, a base or a, you know, an S or whatever. It's just a car that looks good to me. Performance is still good. What about you? That's,
Well, the cars that I've owned.
Well, besides the WRX.
So I'm always on the look for a good Land Cruiser. That's another one we regret getting rid of that one. So, other than that, I mean, I think, I don't know. My car history isn't quite as long as yours, but, you know, and I don't think it was as good as yours.
You're young, Doug.
Well, only a few years, but I, you know, just for fun, though, I wouldn't mind having an XR4 Ti again, just to see what that's like, you know. And I think, honestly, it would be fun to have that. If they ever do a Radwood here in Colorado, I could go to that. I feel like that'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer for like an 80s car, you know.
I always thought those are cool, but
that's kind of what's going on. Not much, but That's the end of the story for this week, I guess.
We've promised lots of episodes, and I know I promised lots of episodes, and then we didn't post one for a couple of weeks. But
we're both very, like I said, we both discover we're both busy. We do our best here to still come together on a regular basis, and we're going to keep doing that. So
it's shocking that the sponsor money isn't paying the bills, but what I'm getting is we got some time off here, so hopefully we can get out a few more episodes. We've got some guests we want to bring on, and we didn't get to everything today, so we'll come back and talk more, but
we'll come back. So we'll call that a show for now, and we'll be back soon. So
thanks, everyone.